concerning your Bibles, page 1,309. Or the letters of the Romans, chapter 2, I'm reading verses 1 through 16. I was in Minnesota with somebody that had the same version. And I printed the Bible I had, and so when I called out the page number, it was the same there. So I thought we all had the same edition. We had the same scripture. So let's look at Romans chapter 2, beginning verse 1. Therefore, every one of you who judges is without excuse. For when you judge another, you condemn yourself, since you, the judge, do the same things. We know that God's judgment on those who do such things is based on the truth. Do you really think any one of you who judges those who do such things yet do the same, that you will escape God's judgment? Or do you despise the riches of his kindness, restraint, and patience, not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? Because of your hardened and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath, when God's righteous judgment is revealed. He will repay each one according to his works. Eternal life to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality. But wrath and anger to those who are self-seeking and disobey the truth while obeying unrighteousness. There will be affliction and distress for every human being who does evil, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does what is right or what is good, first to the Jew and also to the Greek, for there is no favoritism for God. All who sin without the law will also perish without the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For the hearers of the law are not righteous before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. So when Gentiles, who do not by nature have the law, do what the law demands, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts. Their consciences confirm this. Their competing thoughts either accuse or even excuse them on the day of God's judgment. God judges what people have kept secret according to my gospel in Christ Jesus. Previously, we looked at the first chapter in Paul's letter to the Romans. Now, Scripture was not divided into chapters and verses originally. This was just one long letter to the believers in Rome. But he starts out by explaining that he wants to come explain the gospel that he preaches to those that are believers in Rome, to those that are both Jewish background and Gentile, because he's obligated, because he's been called by God to preach the message to the Gentiles, to all who encounters him. Paul had the method where he went into a community, he went to the synagogue and taught the synagogue until those that are of Jewish heritage would not put up with the truth he was proclaiming, and then he would take those that did believe and go start a church in that town with the message of Christ as the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He is explaining his gospel, and we looked at verse 16. We started our passage on Sunday. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. Now Paul's saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's power saved. And he's going to go on and explain the gospel. But the gospel is not just the good news, because the good news is not understood unless you understand what the bad news is. What's the other option? What is going on with our life? Paul then talks about in verse 18, for God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all godlessness and unrighteousness of people who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Paul is talking about the wrath of God is coming on all sin. The judgment of God is coming. But many are ignoring that way. I remember a commercial for Burger King in the 70s or 80s. Have it your way. And you can, their thing was advertising, you can have it your way. That doesn't upset us. Well, having it our way does upset God. And people are trying to do things their way. And the consequence of that is God delivers them over to what should not be done. And our passage we ended on Sunday, and that's where we pick up today. Let's look at verse 29. They are filled with all unrighteousness, evil, greed, and wickedness. They are full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, arrogant, proud, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, senseless, untrustworthy, unloving, and unmerciful. And we can look at that list and say, we recognize all those things are wrong. We can see clearly that God doesn't approve of any of those things. Well, that's what the therefore in verse 1 of chapter 2 is about. Therefore, because we can recognize wrongdoing, every one of you who judges is without excuse. Since you can recognize that there's wrongdoing and that God's judgment's coming back against that, you know that there's going to be a judgment day. For when you judge another, you condemn yourself, since you, the judge, do the same thing. We who can say, all those things in verses 29, 30, and 31 are wrong, have to realize we are doing wrong too. The purpose is to show us we are all sinners. Paul is starting his gospel message by trying to convey to people that might think they're better than other people that they're in the same boat as every sinner. We are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And he's going to continue with this. He's talking about the judgment of God. And we need to understand it's not just for those over there, but it's also for us right here too. Now the Jewish people, they thought they had the Ten Commandments, the law of God, a special place before God. And Paul's pointing out, it's the same if you're a Jew or if you're anyone else. You are all guilty before God. Verse 3, do you really think that you will escape God's judgment? You who know there's wrongdoing, and you do wrong too? Or, verse 4, do you despise the riches of his kindness, restraint, and patience, not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? here this echoes what Peter says in this letter, 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll turn to me there. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Dear friends, this is now the second letter I have written to you. In both letters, I want to stir up your sincere understanding by way of reminder, so that you recall the words previously spoken by the holy prophets and the command of our Lord and Savior given through your apostles. Above all, be aware of this. Scoffers will come in the last days, scoffing and following their own evil desires, saying, where is his coming? And he promised, ever since our ancestors fell asleep, all things continue as they have been since the beginning of creation. They deliberately overlooked this. By the word of God, the heavens came into being long ago, and the earth was brought about, water through water. Through these, the world of that time perished when it flooded. By the same word, the present ages and the present heavens and earth are stored up for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. So what he's saying so far here is, there's people that will say, God's never going to do anything. Where's his judgment? Where's his punishing of sin? God hasn't come back. He's not going to come back. What I'm trying to say, everything's just going to keep going like it does. Dear friends, don't overlook this one fact. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. That just means time is irrelevant to God. Some people try to use this to justify and saying in the first chapter of Genesis where it says, and there's morning and evening the first day, that doesn't mean long ages. Well, that means there's 1,000 years of daylight and 1,000 years of night. That happened that way. Time is irrelevant to God. Verse 9, the Lord does not delay his promise as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. That echoes what we read back in Romans chapter 2. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. On that day the heavens will pass away with a loud noise. The elements will burn and be dissolved, and the earth and the works on it will be disclosed. Since all these things are to be dissolved in this way, it is clear what sort of people you should be in holy conduct and godliness as you wait for the day of God and hasten to come. Because that day, the heavens will be dissolved with fire and the elements will melt with heat. But based on his promise, we wait for new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Just like Peter is explaining there, God is patient with us, wanting us to repent. Back to Romans chapter 2, the same thing. Verse 4 of chapter 2. For do you despise the riches of his kindness, restraint, and patience, not recognizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? God doesn't bring immediate consequences. He's giving us a chance to repeat. We don't immediately, when we sin, go before God's judgment throne. Life's over then. He's giving us a chance to repent. But he describes us as having a hardened, an unrepentant heart. Ezekiel talks about that, and he calls it in chapter 11, verse 19, chapter 36, verse 26, a heart of stone. But he also says God will take our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. He will turn that heart, the unrepentant heart, into one that is repentant. And God is telling us through His Word here that if we don't recognize the sinners, we're just storing up more judgment for ourselves on Judgment Day. But there's good news. Verse 6. He will repay each one according to his works. Eternal life to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality. But wrath and anger to those who are self-seeking and disobey the truth while obeying unrighteousness. Now he's not saying here we're saved by our works. We're not we're not saved by works. But he's going to explain as he goes on more how we are saved. Now we know salvation is by faith alone and Christ alone, because of God's grace. But we need to recognize we need God's grace, God's forgiveness. Not that we deserve it, but how those works fit in there. The works give evidence that we are saved or that we're not saved. And then he goes on. For there in verse 10, or verse 9, there will be affliction and distress for every human being who does evil, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does what is good, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. For there is no favoritism with God. It doesn't matter if you have a Jewish background and brought up with reading the scriptures every Sabbath. Doesn't matter if you're a Baptist and you're brought up in the church singing just as I am 100 times until somebody walks out the aisle. It's not our heritage. We are all saved the same way. Now, in the church, among the believers in Rome, there were people that had a Jewish background and people that did not. And Paul's trying to explain, we are all saved the same way. We are all guilty. It's just like John the Baptizer said when the Jewish leaders came down where he was baptized, and he said, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? You're a brood of vipers. Well, Paul is explaining to those in Rome that we are all guilty before God. Some of the Jewish believers might say, oh, but I've got the all the commandments. I've got all the sacrifices. I go to synagogue. If you have the law of God, you're going to be judged by that. But if you don't have the law, you're going to be judged by what you do with what God has revealed to you. Remember chapter 1, God has made himself known. So look at the Gentile who does what the law is requiring, but doesn't have a plaque of the Ten Commandments posted on his wall. He still shows that God's law is written on his heart. God has made clear what his expectations are, whether you have the law or not. And God, in verse 16, God judges what people have kept secret on that day, according to my gospel in Christ Jesus. He's going to explain more as we go more in the study of the letter to the Romans, how we're going to be saved. But first, we need to understand we're going to face a judgment day. All of us are guilty before God. And a lot of people don't think they're guilty. They don't think they need God's forgiveness. They think they're just fine. Just like the guy that weaves in and out of traffic. He thinks his driving's fine. Is everybody else that has a problem. Or the person that, and you can fill in any sin. Well, at least I don't do that sin over there. I'm better than that person. There are many in churches that look down on others, thinking they're better than others. We need to realize we are all sinners. We're all saved by the grace of God. And that's what Paul was trying to convey to the believers of Rome. We need to understand we are all sinners. And we're all saved the same way. But too often it's not salvation that we need. We need to hear why we're being saved. Because we cannot understand being saved until we understand what we're saved from. Over Christmas break, we got to go to a water park in Orlando. That's kind of weird. Going to a water park in December. But there's a wave pool, and the water is sort of calm. And all of a sudden, this huge wave goes down and knocks everybody over, and knocked my son-in-law over. He was filming it and filmed away. He thought he was in a good place. He got film of him being knocked underwater. It messed up his glasses. He's got to get a new pair of glasses because the wave and all the people being tossed around bent his glass and broke them. And you can see the film on his camera, or his phone that he was filming, so I guess it was, see if it was okay on that. But the way that wave works is every 90 seconds, after the wave comes in, at one end, it sucks all that water in, puts it up in huge tanks, and then it releases that all. When it's been pumped into these tanks for 90 seconds, suddenly comes off. And that's what it's talking about with, if we're not recognizing we're sinners, we're storing up wrath. We're storing up that big wave of God's judgment coming. We need to realize we're all sinners. And the waves are going to crash. We can't save ourselves. We need help. Paul's going to explain. You know I'm studying, read ahead too. We know, we read the letter of the Lord of the Church. You're saved by grace of God through faith in what he's done. Not currently, but we need to recognize we are all sinners. Stand in the Lord. Dear Lord, I thank you that Paul clearly explains your gospel, emphasizing that we need to understand we are all sinners. And we're not saved by our works. Our works give evidence of our salvation. But we're saved by faith in what you have done. And if we understand and repent of our sin, we will live a life that other people can see the difference. In Jesus' name. Thank you.